Let us bow our heads as we come to seek the Lord together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we still our hearts as we bow in thy presence tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son and our great Saviour, we thank thee for the access that we have to thee, that we can draw nigh to God, and he has promised to draw nigh to us. The great God of heaven is ready and willing to hear the cry of the righteous. Thou hast inclined thine ear, and we have access into the presence of the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we would come to seek thy face, even at the commencement of this time of Bible study and prayer, that thou wilt draw near to us and that thou wilt speak to our hearts. We pray for fresh cleansing in thy blood and fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt work in our hearts and give us, Lord, a desire to meet with thee and to spend time in thy presence, listening to thy voice. We would pray even in the words of this hymn, that the Master would speak to us and that we might know it is to our own hearts personally. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to prepare our hearts even for thy word tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies toward us, for health and strength. We thank thee for every family represented here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for everyone who knows thee, who belongs to Christ, and is rejoicing that their names are written in heaven. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that we're in Christ. And we pray that thou wilt bless us as we gather in this fashion, that thou wilt be with us, that thou wilt minister to us, that thou wilt bless us in our season of prayer, and that the Lord might draw near and pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication upon us. Remember, Lord, all our needs. We come to thee again tonight to spread the needs of our homes before thee and the church family and the nation as a whole. We pray that thou wilt breathe upon us, that thou wilt give us grace for every trial, that thou wilt lead us and guide us each step of the way, that thou wilt remember our lost loved ones, that thou wilt speak to their hearts even tonight as we seek the face of the Lord. We pray that thou wilt speak the word to them and cause them to see their need of Christ. We pray that thou wilt bless our families with household salvation. We pray that thou wilt work in each of our hearts and that thou wilt lead us and guide us in these days. Even as a church, we pray for thy servant and ministers, Reverend Patterson, that thou wilt bless him wherever he is tonight. We pray that thou wilt draw near to him and bless him and use him in thy service here in Mourne, and that men and women will come in unto the sound of thy word and hear words whereby they shall be saved. Bless, Lord, every worker. Remember thy servant Noel as he goes around the doors, as he seeks to minister to those around this district and in the church and among the children. We pray that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon him and bless the elders and the committee and every worker and every helper. We pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, in these days to be laborers together with Christ and to see his name honored and their lives blessed in these days. Lord, answer prayer. Continue with us now as we further worship the Lord, as we gather around thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we want to welcome each one of you along in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will minister to us tonight as we look at his word. 2 Samuel chapter 7, And we're reading from verse 1, speaking here of King David, who is sitting in his house. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? And then if you move across to verse 18, after Nathan had spoken these words unto David, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there's none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We've come tonight, of course, to the house of God and to the house of prayer. And in a few moments we will be getting down to prayer. And we wonder tonight, as we do so, as we get down to prayer, will we also find it in our hearts to pray? And that's a very important question to ask ourselves tonight. In this chapter, David is also in the place of prayer. And we're told there at the end of verse 27 that he also found it in his heart to pray. Thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. What a blessing it is, brethren and sisters, when we enter the closet and close the door behind us, or when we come into the prayer meeting as we have tonight and gather for prayer, to also find it in our hearts to pray, just as David did here. Thy servant found in his heart to pray. What a wonderful thing to come to God's house and to come to the place of prayer and at the same time find it in your heart to pray. We can find prayer in so many other places. We can find it in books, and we have, of course, for many years the Book of Common Prayer used by other churches and often read in their pulpits and often repeated in their pews, and we wonder how much of those prayers are really found in the hearts of the people. We can have it on our lips. We can say prayers. Words and sentences can flow from us freely. We can find prayer in so many places. We can draw near with our lips. We can read prayers. We can repeat many words in prayer. But at the same time, as the Lord emphasized, our hearts can be still far from God. How we need at all times to find it in our hearts to pray. David said, thy servant found it in his heart to pray. Remember the challenge there to David over in Psalm 27 and verse 8, familiar words speaking there concerning the Lord and himself. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, David says, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David often found it in his heart to pray, to seek the face of the Lord. When the Lord expected him to pray, his heart was in it. It is, of course, a great challenge to us all. We all struggle with prayer. We all struggle to find it in our hearts to pray, even in the quietness of the prayer meeting, even in the quietness of the closet. We struggle to find it in our hearts to pray. The disciples felt the same way. After the Savior had closed his prayer, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just how to pray, not just what to say, but Lord, teach us to pray. Give us a heart to pray. Help us to find it in our hearts to pray. There are times, of course, we must confess, all of us, when our hearts are not in tune in prayer. David rose above this struggle and he found it in his heart to pray. And we want to just take a few moments to look a bit closer at David here in the place of prayer. First of all, the steps of David toward the place of prayer. God's servant, you'll notice, is in the house of God. He's come to pray. In verse 18, David has gone in and sat before the Lord, and he begins to pray, and he finds it in his heart to do so. And you notice in verse 27, what has happened in David's life at this time? What brought him to the place of prayer? What gave him a heart to pray? Well, you notice in verse 27 that it was God's revelation to him. This is what started him in prayer. Verse 27, "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." It is very simple. Why is David here in the place of prayer? How does he find it in his heart to pray to God at this time? Very simply, because God had revealed himself to him. And he had started to speak to his heart. And therefore, he says, he had found it in his heart to pray. That is why we started to call upon God in the first place. Way back, that moment, we were saved. God revealed himself to us, spoke to us, and therefore we found it in our hearts to pray, to call on God for salvation. Think of Paul and his experience. Very religious man. At the same time, a great sinner. You remember there the scene in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, on the path of sin. After God revealed himself to Paul in a wonderful fashion and spoke to Paul personally, what the Lord had to say to Ananias after Paul had this conversion experience. What did the Lord have to say to Ananias? How was he going to point out Paul? He said, "Behold, he prayeth." He's praying. Paul had been a very strict Pharisee. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that the Pharisees, for pretense, made long prayers. He was used to making long prayers. It was all in pretense, of course. But now, since he had seen the light, since he had met with Christ, since he had heard his voice and turned from his sin and was washed in the blood and saved, now he finds it in his heart to really pray. To really pray as he never prayed before. The Lord says to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." I remember when we visited the Holy Land, when we were in the city of Jerusalem, the opportunity to go down along the temple wall and remember watching these very devout Jews lined up along the wall, I think you call it the Wailing Wall, and there they were engaged in prayer. And as we watched these dear souls, you could see that they were really into their season of prayer. Their bodies were swaying back and forward. They were going through the whole ritual of prayer. And it just sounded just like a rigmarole. That was Paul. Paul used to be like that when he was a Pharisee. But now, after he had met with Christ, after he had heard the voice of the Savior, after he was saved, the new Paul, he had set aside all of his pretense, all of his long prayers, all of his rigmarole, And he had now started to pray as he never prayed before. He now found it in his heart to approach God and to seek his face as he never sought his face before. Because he was a new man with a new heart, with a touched heart, and he wanted to seek the face of the Lord. And here, brethren and sisters, is the secret of real heartfelt prayer. Quite simply, because the root of the matter is in us. That is why we've gathered here tonight. That is why we come to the prayer meeting every week. Because the root of the matter is in us. We also have seen the light. We also have heard the voice of the Savior. We also have a new heart. And therefore, we need not to read our prayers. We need not to pretend to make long prayers. But we can very simply find it in our hearts to pray, as Paul did, to really pray. We want to spend time talking to the one who reached us, who washed us, who saved us, who gave us a new heart, who loves us, who is with us each step of the way. And that is why we have found it in our hearts to come here tonight and pray. The root of the matter is there, you see. And this will be the case right throughout the lives of every truly born again believer. Often you will find it in your heart to pray because you know Christ. This was the case in Paul's life. This was the case in David's life. This is why we find him here in the house of prayer. In prayer. Notice here also in this scene, the steps of God's servant into the place of prayer to pray as he did. Notice in verse 1 as he sat in his own house, the thought entered his mind regarding God's house. Came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in an house of cedar. The ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David is sitting here in his own house, and he's not alone. The prophet Nathan is with him, and he's been thinking about the ark of God and how that it dwelleth within curtains. He has been thinking about his own house and the decor of his own house, and looking out upon the tent where the ark of God is, and he begins to share his thoughts with Nathan the prophet. Imagine the scene as he draws near to Nathan. Nathan, I've been thinking, perhaps thinking for a few days, I've been thinking about the house of God. See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Look at the house of God. God deserves better. We need to do something, Nathan. We need to build God a house. And Nathan, of course, encourages God's servant to go and do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And that is how Nathan leaves David. David's thinking upon the things of God. He's thinking upon the house of God. What more he can do for God. And he has the blessing of the prophet upon him. And Nathan leaves that scene. But that night, as you'll notice in verse 4, God speaks to Nathan, saying in verse 5, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in?" And you notice the question mark after that. So immediately God puts a question mark upon what David wants to do. And he speaks to Nathan. He brings his word that very same night, and he puts a question mark upon what David is thinking to do. And in fact, if you look at parallel passages, it's much stronger than this. In fact, when God appears to Nathan that night to speak to him, to bring his word, he actually says, "Thou shalt not build me an house." So what God really reveals here to his servant through Nathan is that he shall not build a house. He knows what David's thinking, and he wants Nathan to go and correct him and direct him. David has been thinking upon the things of God. God speaks to him about these things. It is God's word that speaks to David and touches his heart to pray. This is what God reveals to him. This is what David is speaking about in verse 27. This is why David finds it in his heart to pray as he did at this time. "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." He is in the house of God now. He is seeking the face of the Lord. God has spoken to his heart, and he finds it in his heart to pray. And brethren and sisters, this shows us how God works among us. This is why we're here tonight with our Bibles open before us, that God might reveal himself in his word, that he might speak to us about our lives, about our thoughts, about our intentions, and correct us where we need to be corrected, and to direct us and encourage us and to lead us on with himself. This is what he did with David, that we might be spoken to, that we might find it in our hearts to pray about these things and do what is right in the sight of God. You remember how Daniel was stirred to pray over in his prophecy, chapter 9 and verse 2. You notice there what it says, in the first year of his reign, that's Darius's reign, "I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God." And you notice here how Daniel finds it in his heart to pray, to seek the face of the Lord. It is after God had spoken to him through the prophecy of Jeremiah. He immediately finds it in his heart to pray after God speaks to him through his word. Remember the two in the road to Emmaus. They had many thoughts of sadness along the way. They were thinking upon the things of God. They wondered why Christ had been crucified. They had trusted that he was the Savior, but they were now very sad. And you remember how the Savior drew near, and what did he do? He opened up the scriptures and he spoke to them by the way. You remember how their hearts were touched, how their hearts burned within them, and how after that they prayed, they sought the Lord that he might stay with them. After he'd spoken so warmly to their souls, they found it in their hearts to pray unto him. That's what it was like in the life of David at this time, who had been thinking upon the things of God. He had been thinking upon this new building program. God came and spoke to him. God came and revealed himself to him. And therefore, he found in his heart to pray. God had spoken to his heart, and thank God tonight for the place of prayer. And in the place of prayer, we ought always to have the Bible. When we enter the closet and close the door, when we come into the prayer meeting, we ought to have our Bibles. That is why this is more than a prayer meeting. This is why this is also a Bible study and prayer meeting. This is how we find it in our hearts to pray. This is what makes the difference in our prayer life at home and in the house of God. When God reveals himself to us, when God speaks to us through his word, then we find it in our hearts to pray. As he speaks to us about our lives, as he speaks to us about our thoughts, then, like David, we find it in our hearts to pray. Such are the steps of David toward the place of prayer. He had the root of the matter in him. He knew God personally. He had been thinking upon the things of God in recent days. God spoke to him, spoke to his heart, spoke to him personally. And because God spoke to him, he found it in his heart to pray to God. And oh, that God might do this in our lives every day, as we go from day to day, as we think upon the things of God, that God would constantly speak to us, and that God would constantly put it in our hearts to pray and to seek his face. Thy servant found in his heart to pray. The steps of David toward the place of prayer. But notice here, secondly, the success of God's word in the place of prayer. David is thinking about the things of God. He's thinking upon the house of God, a new building. God speaks to David about these same things and touches his heart to pray. What does that tell us? Well, very simply, that God sees what we're thinking. God knew what David was thinking. And God spoke to him about these things. And God touched his heart to pray. And herein we see the success of God's word in our lives, especially in the prayer life of the believer. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, you'll notice this very thought underlined by the apostle. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, familiar words. And God's servant is speaking here concerning the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here we can see the value of God's word. And of course, there's more in this verse than we can handle tonight. We could speak about its life. It is quick. The word of God is quick in the sense of being alive. It is filled with life. It is filled with the breath of God. We could speak about its power. It is powerful. And the word there in the original is energies. And of course, we immediately recognize that it is powerful in the sense of being full of energy. The word of God is full of life and it is full of energy. That is why the word of God often comes with such freshness and life and power and energy to our souls. That is why it often puts within us fresh life and fresh energy and fresh desires in our souls to live for God and also to pray to Him. We want to focus here upon the application of God's word. Notice what it says at the end of verse 12 concerning the word of God. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And to discern here means to make a judgment. God's word makes a clear and precise judgment upon all our thoughts and all our intentions and all our plans. This is what happened to David after he had thought upon his new building project. God could see what he's thinking. And that is why he immediately laid hold upon Nathan the prophet that very same night, that Nathan might go back to him and put him right. God knew everything that David was thinking. He knew what he intended to do. He discerned the thoughts and intentions of his heart. God's word made a judgment upon it, passed a judgment upon David's own thoughts. God could see everything. He could see what was going on in David's mind. He come afresh with his word to his heart. This is underlined in Hebrews 4 and 13. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, and that is of course in connection with the word of God. And that is why we can say the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. God knows what we're thinking. David himself could say in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou searchest me and knowest me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And we can certainly say this in connection with His Word. As we sit under the sound of His Word, as we open His Word in the closet, as we read His Word, as we listen to His Word, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God often takes His Word and applies it to our minds and to our thoughts and to our intentions to put us right, to put us on the right path. But of course, not everyone appreciates what God has to say to them. Notice what it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 2. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's only when we take the word of God to heart and receive it into our hearts and accept it as a word from God to your hearts, that God's word will be a blessing to our souls, and we will find it in our hearts to pray. When God speaks to us, and when He applies His word to our hearts, we must receive it as it is from God. We were encouraged a few weeks ago to hear our treasurer's report and how God's servant spoke about his own experience as he had been thinking upon giving the report, how God spoke to him that Monday morning before the Tuesday night report. Promised to draw alongside him. Promised to be with him. In the words of Isaiah, promised to hold his hand. Promised to keep him. You see, God knows what we're thinking. God knows our concerns at every moment of the day. When we open up his word, when we sit under the word of God, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He can see what we're thinking, and he can apply his word afresh to our hearts and with power to our hearts, and make us think about ourselves, and make us think about the way that we're going, and if we need corrected and directed, to do so with his word. The application of God's word. And of course, we can see this in church services. We've heard many testimonies, and perhaps we're one of the testimonies, how men and women have sat in meetings and felt uncomfortable in their thoughts, in their minds. Why is that? Some have even gone as far as to tackle the preacher at the door. They thought people were talking about. How could the preacher know so much about their thoughts? It's not the preacher, it's the word of God, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is God applying his word afresh and with power to the minds of men and women, making them think. God is speaking to them about their lives through his word, about their own thoughts at that time. And of course, on many occasions, he puts it in our heart, in their hearts, to pray and to call upon the same God. We thank God for his word. We long for more of its success among us. We long that it might come with fresh life and energy and application to our hearts in all of our meetings, and also, as we're thinking tonight, in the closet. When we get into the closet and shut the door behind us and open up God's word, when we come to the Bible study and prayer meeting, that God would speak afresh to our minds and to our hearts, and put it into our hearts to pray, that God would so speak to us week after week through his word to our hearts, that we will find it in our hearts to pray. I wonder what has been on our minds today, through the week, in the past months. Has God been speaking to your heart? Oh, that you might find it in your heart to pray now about these things. He knows what you've been thinking, and you know what he's been saying through his word. Oh, that you might find it in your heart tonight to pray about these things. Notice in closing here the subject David brings to God in prayer. It was, of course, to build. He wants to build a house for God, to advance the cause of God in his day. And God speaks to him about this. And he says to him that he wouldn't be building God a house. In 1 Kings chapter 8, you'll notice, and with this we must close, our time is gone. 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is speaking, David's son. He tells us in his own words how the matter unfolded. 1 Kings 8 and verse 17. It was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine house. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. So here we have the whole situation in a nutshell. Solomon recalls the situation. It was in David's heart, my father, to build me a house. And the Lord says, well, it was good that it was in his heart, but he wasn't going to do it. His son was going to do it. Isn't it wonderful how God didn't ask a stranger? He asked his son. And David still had a contact with that work. And in fact, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that David did a lot of preparation for that same house. God still gave him a vital role in the same cause, but he asked his son to do it. To build a house. And you know, brethren and sisters, David had another son, a greater than Solomon, who's also building. And blind Bartimaeus introduces us to him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This was David's greater than Solomon. David also called him Lord. He is the one who has promised to build the church. He is the foundation and the builder of his church. He is the one who has mercy upon souls. He is the one who died for us, who has reached us, who has saved us, and has put us into that same building. And he is the chief subject of our prayers and the center of all our labors. And we're labors together with him. He wants us to be part of his work. He wants us to have some role in his work. And thank God tonight, brothers and sisters, each one of us can have a role in the cause of Christ. He's building the church. He's put us into the church. And there are things that you and I can do. And we often think upon. And thank God he often speaks to us about them. And whatever God has been speaking to you about tonight, oh, that you might find it in your heart to pray about these things as David did. David didn't do what he wanted to do. His son did. But God still gave him a job to do. Though that God might put it in our hearts tonight to pray these matters through and to seek his face even as David did, and to leave the matter in the hands of the one who is the foundation and the builder of the church.